You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You can take your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter number 22. 1 Kings chapter number 22, and it is an honor to be here behind the pulpit and excited to be here on a Wednesday night at the Great North Valley Baptist Church. And we have the greatest church, in my estimation, and the greatest people, and you all are to be commended. And as we celebrated our anniversary this past week, 49 years of ministry and reaching people here in Santa Clara, California, and it's just been amazing what God has been able to do through our church. And please do not take it lightly how God has blessed our church, and it's because of his blessings that we're able to continue on and continue reaching people. And you all are to be commended, but used by God greatly over the decades. I've had the privilege to preach several times, and this is my very first opportunity to preach while my wife is actually interpreting in sign language right now. And so I know she'd prefer if I don't bring it up or if I don't mention her, but here we go. Let's try this. My wife is the most beautiful lady. She is absolutely incredible. She is better than me at everything. That's very true. All right, here we go. So there is, she continues to sign on. She is absolutely amazing, absolutely incredible, much more talented than I. Not only does she know sign language, but she also speaks fluently Mandarin, as she grew up on the mission field in Beijing, China, basically her entire life. Born in Hong Kong, raised on the mission field in Beijing, and the Lallmans actually first heard of North Valley Baptist Church through KNBBC Revival Radio, and they started listening, and so were able to send their children to Golden Gate City Baptist College, and now get to represent Golden Gate City Baptist College on the road. And it's just amazing how God has blessed their family. 1 Kings chapter number 22, the only other thing that I wanted to mention was the singing and the special music has been absolutely incredible. And I appreciate especially that very first special was the NVBS senior ladies who did a special. And I just seem to notice that we don't have an NVBS senior guys group special music. So if you want, I can get Brother Reimers to coach you guys, and we'll start up a start. I know I saw you at the guitars over there, so thank you very much for doing that. We'll get that in the works. That'll be something on that later on, so maybe we'll take a vote or something. Who knows? But it's a privilege to be here tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 22, and I want to preach just for a moment. The thought tonight is one truth worth 400 lies. One truth worth 400 lies. And we see in our text this evening, and we'll cover some familiar people and some familiar characters in the text, as well as some that are a little bit less known. But we'll kind of jump around. 1 Kings chapter number 22. We'll begin reading in verse number 6, if you would. And if you follow along as I read, the Bible says, "Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men." Have you seen where that's where we get the 400 lies? Here we go. "About 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And if you skip down to verse number 12, the Bible says, And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." And we go through some of the different contexts behind this chapter. It's an incredible. We see a character that's introduced, a little bit less known, but Micaiah the prophet. And he is introduced here, but before that, you have King Ahab, which is the king of Israel at this time, who the Bible describes as the most wicked king of Israel in this divided kingdom. You have different kings of Israel going through and also kings of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, is, the Bible says, enlisted as a good king. He did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. And so immediately we can kind of ask here, as they're deciding whether or not to go to battle, and they're trying to go to battle, and they formed a union. They formed a coalition. They formed a pact. They have a peace treaty, if you will. And you ask yourself, why would the good king Jehoshaphat partner with this evil king, the most evil king of Israel, King Ahab? And we won't turn there for sake of time, but you find here that the reason why they are entangled together is because their children married each other. Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, married King Ahab and Queen Isabella's daughter, Athaliah. And so if you have here, you have the merging of the two families, the merging of the two kingdoms, and it almost, this merger, this peace treaty, this coalition that was formed almost cost Jehoshaphat his life. And if I can correlate it to today's society, I can tell you this, that if we ever try to compromise or try to join ourselves or try to leave our opinion or try to leave that which we know to be true and try to link ourselves with the world, it will only bring us heartache and trouble. You can never find where a Christian who's right in the center of God's will leaves God's will to go compromise with somebody who is doing works of evil or doing things against God's word, and you don't find peace. Peace is only ever found in the center of Christ, the Prince of Peace. If you want peace, just be in the center of Christ's will. If you are in the center of Christ's will, you will have peace. And if the other party is in the center of Christ's will, then they will have peace with you together. But if we're not in Christ's will, or if we're not in Christ, in the center of Christ's righteousness and Christ's power, and we decide to leave our position to try to join ourselves with those that would be compromised or doing evil or doing a lifestyle that is contrary to God's word, you will never find peace, but only heartache. You don't find peace by leaving Christ's will to go to compromise or try to unify or try to merge with that of the world. Jehoshaphat should have known better. In fact, you can see some of his righteous discernment in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." So King Ahab, King Jehoshaphat, they're together and they form the coalition. And King Ahab says, "I want to go and fight the king of Syria." And there had been 3 years of peace with the king of Syria up until this point. And Jehoshaphat says, "Let's slow down a minute. Before we go to war, let's inquire of the Lord." And King Ahab, the evil king, the king of Israel, gathered the prophets, verse number 6, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" There were already 400 prophets. They were all with one accord. They were all chanting in unison, "Go up. Go up and fight the Syrians. Go up. Go to battle." And they had the audacity to say that this was, quote unquote, approved from the Lord. They were all chanting together. They were all in unison. And you know what? It's amazing how much people agree when they're all saying the same thing that they know want to be heard. They're all speaking the king's language. The king wants to go up. And they all say, "Well, it's time to go up." And they have the audacity to say that this is what God's for. They put the proverbial religious stamp of approval on King Ahab's already made up mind. But Jehoshaphat wanted a second opinion. He knew better than to just trust the crowd, than to just go with the flow. He could tell the difference that this was not the true word of the Lord. And this is the same thing that happens today. And there are religious leaders and Christians that claim they speak from God, that they claim they have some kind of spiritual revelation, but all their words are vain nonsense and empty chatter. They speak that which they know wants to be heard, without any regard for the truth of the matter. They claim that God approves of their lifestyle. Christians claiming that immodesty is now acceptable. Christians claiming that contemporary music is the new way. Christians claiming that drunkenness is okay in moderation. Christians claiming that unrighteousness is God approved because he still loves us. Christians claiming that a reformed theology is just to get out of sharing the gospel. Christians claiming that sanctification and personal holiness is some kind of archaic, irrelevant doctrine. And so if you tune into the average church on Facebook, or if you ask and review the religious leader of today, if you talk to the average Christian, they're all going to stand in unison and speak all the same thing as everybody else, because they know it's what they want to hear. They know it's what is wanted to be said. They know it's convenient, easy to be part of such a large crowd, and it's safe to just go with the flow. But Jehoshaphat asks, can I get a second opinion? He says, is there another voice? Is there someone else here who can give it to me straight? Someone else here who can speak confidently for the word of God? Someone else here who I can depend on? I've heard what the 400 prophets had to say. I've heard their advice and I've heard their counsel, but I'm interested in what God says. I'm interested in God's word. And Jehoshaphat could tell that something was not right. For him, that he knew better, he knew that there was something wrong. It's the same thing, as Pastor has said many times, they give the bank tellers, they give them the real money. And they handle real money time after time after time after time. And as soon as they feel a counterfeit, they know immediately. From the feel, from the smell, from the touch, they can tell that it's wrong, that it's not telling the truth. And you know what? There's one thing I hate more than lying, and I might divide the crowd right here when I say this. One thing more than I hate not telling the truth, it is skim milk, which is basically lying about being milk, okay? And the same thing is true for, let me just go ahead and preach for a moment, almond milk right there, lying about being milk. Oat milk, rice milk, let me tell you this, it is not milk, okay? Oat milk is oats and water blended together and they form this white unknown liquid substance. Who knows what's in there? And let me tell you this, it is claiming to be milk, but it is not milk, people. It is not. And so this phrase that people try to make popular today, they call it cow's milk. No, it's not cow's milk, it's just milk. Okay? It's just regular, good old 2% fat milk. Give me that blue cap jug right there and give it to me straight. I want the real deal. Did I split the church on that one? Maybe I shouldn't have gone that far. I know that's a heresy right there. But give it to me straight. I want the real thing. And if you've ever heard any Christian say anything contrary to God's word, let me tell you this. They cannot claim that it is God's counsel. And they cannot claim that it is God's advice, it is God's direction, it's God's leading. We know what God would have us to do because we have confidence in the word of God. Psalm 119, 142, the Bible says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Psalm 119, 151, that thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In the day which we live, it seems that people are trying to change the truth. Society wants to change the truth of what a man is and what a woman is and what a marriage is and what a baby is and what righteousness is and what sin is. And people want to live the way that they like or live the way that they want with any sort of consequences or cost to their actions. And they live their life as that it has no foundations of right and wrong. And they act as if they can do what feels right without any penalty or punishment. But we should not and cannot base our life upon anything because the word of God is truth and the truth does not change. The word of God is the ultimate measuring stick. It is the supreme standard. It is the highest authority in our life. And because it is the truth, it never changes. Any other standard or any other measuring stick will change. Government will change. Popular opinion will change. People will change. Majority will change. Culture will change. Time will change. Literature will change. But the only standard and the only authority in our life, in your life, that will never change is the inherent, infallible, and impeccable word of God. We cannot afford, like others in the world, to base our life upon what feels good or what is popular or what is convenient or what is what we want to be heard. The devil will continue to try and attack the word of God, but it is the Bible that brings and implants faith into our heart. We need the Bible because the Bible is true, and the Bible is sure, and the Bible is powerful, and the Bible is pure, and the Bible is holy, and the Bible is personal, and the Bible is tested. You can base your life upon it, and your life will crumble without it. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when ye have received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Because it is the truth, it does not change. Psalm 119:9 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah 40, the word of God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Charles Spurgeon said, the tooth of time devours all lies. Falsehoods are soon cut down and wither as the green herb, but truth
never dies. It dates its origin from the immortals, kindled at the source of light, and its flame cannot be quenched. God doth not speak today what he meant not yesterday, neither will God tomorrow blot out what he records today. It is preserved forever, and the truth is not dependent upon circumstance. It's not dependent upon situation. It's not dependent upon a trouble or a trial. The word of God does not change with society. The word of God does not change with popularity. If it ever was true, it will always be true. And so Micaiah says, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Verse number 13, if you look back, the Bible says, and the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And the crowd will get you to try to mimic them. They were all in unison. And they were all in agreement, except for this one man of God. I pray thee, he says, pretty please, will you just agree? Pretty please, will you just fall in line? Pretty please, will you just prophesy that what is good to the king of Ahab? Pretty please, will you just join us? It's so much easier. It's just so much more convenient. It'll be so nice for you to just fall in line and go with the flow. But Micaiah wasn't interested in what the crowd was saying. The setting was meant to be impressive. You can see in verse number 11 and 12 that they adorned royal robes. And they were all chanting, and they were all trying to do the exact same thing. But he was only resolved to speak the true word of the Lord, no matter the circumstances and no matter the consequences, for speaking the truth. Would you or I have the audacity to stand alone, to speak the truth in such a circumstance? Verse number 8, the Bible says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, going back, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he speaks not, for he doth not prophesy for me good, but evil. You know, speaking the truth, you may be hated. Truth is not popular. Truth is actually very much the opposite of popular. It is the minority opinion. Oftentimes, it's the least popular. And I think it's very obvious in the world that speaking the truth does not make us well-known or does not give us notoriety. But he was known as being a true prophet of the Lord, which could be trusted and depended upon. There were already 400 other prophets there. There were already 400 people there giving their opinion and giving their advice and giving their counsel. But you know what? There was one man willing to speak the truth. Looking at verse number 8 from a different perspective, it's actually very easy for us to take the place of King Ahab for a moment. He already had 400 voices reciting to him exactly what he wanted to hear. But as for the one named Micaiah, Ahab hated him. And it would be very easy for us to assume this character's train of thought, King Ahab. Because this is the policy and position with that many of us assume far too often. See, we confer with those who tell us what we want to hear. And we think that if we do not consult the Bible or consult those that speak the word of God, it gives us a license to do what seems good to our own opinion. But by ignoring the Bible, we have disregarded its authority, and we exalt our personal opinion and individual expertise to be the final authority. Sometimes we do what Ahab did and call upon the people which we know will already whisper to us exactly what we desire to hear. We know that if we go and listen to a certain counselor, or if we know and we go and ask a certain preacher, they will insist upon us righteousness, modesty, personal holiness, Christ-centered music, and godly lifestyle. Supposing that we already know everything that they will say, we turn away from them and instead surround ourselves with those who already agree with our preconceived position. We turn into an echo chamber. This is comparable to willfully walking through a room filled with sources of various light, but we close our eyes. Supposing that darkness is safety because we cannot see the danger that is near. Our responsibility under all circumstances in life are to go to the tellers of truth and to the reality of the situation. Truth tellers will at times disappoint our ambition and upset the status quo, but that is precisely their value. You know, I can liken it to myself and to draw a personal illustration. And men, you have to help me out here. But men have this thing, I don't know if you've ever heard of it before, it's called an ego. Have you ever heard of that? And men have a pretty big ego. And the one thing we like about our ego is when, ladies, you inflate our ego. And you know what? It's so interesting and it's so fascinating. If we're playing maybe a physical sport, or we're doing some kind of activity, or maybe we're trying to do something that is extremely masculine, you know, and then all of a sudden we hurt ourselves. You know, the only thing that's really hurt? Our ego. It's our pride. Have you ever heard that before? The only thing that hurts right now is my ego. And that has happened to me many times. And you know what? We like it when people go psh, 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 and they blow up and they inflate our ego, right? And it gets bigger and bigger. What's the one thing we don't like is when somebody goes boop and pops it. And I can tell you this, it doesn't take much to pop a guy's ego, because really we're a whole bunch of nothing. So it's pretty easy to bring us back down to, you know, and I know some people in life think it's their God's will that they just go ahead and humble everybody about everything, okay? It's probably not God's will for you to do that. That's probably not your lot in life. But I can tell you this, that there are times where we do need the truth. And there are times, now, don't beat us down. You know, we're stuffing ourselves with pie and ice cream, and you ask yourself, do you really want to eat that right now? Yes, I want to eat it right now, okay? Don't talk to me about that. But there are times where we do need to hear the truth. And the same is true, spiritually speaking. It does not help us if we go ahead and agree with that is unspiritual. Or if we agree and try to pump up somebody who's obviously and doctrinally in the wrong. It does not help us, spiritually speaking. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And we're not called to beat people down when they're wrong, but we're also not called to affirm their wrong position and tell them that they're right. We don't have to agree with the Catholics or the Pentecostals or the Presbyterians or the LDS or any other doctrine or religious institution. We don't even have to agree necessarily with Baptists when they're wrong doctrine. We should not agree with them, but we should be careful to stand for the truth even when it's not convenient to doing so. There's one more item I'd like to highlight in closing of this chapter, and the pastoral men in preparation for this reminded me of how short I should be. So when we're done tonight, it'll still be light out, I promise, okay? As the sun goes down about 8:30 nowadays. So here we go. I promise it'll be light out. But I want to attract our attention to the very end of the chapter, and we did not read the verses previously, but if you look in your Bible to verse number 27 and 28, this is after Micaiah goes to King Ahab and prophesies him exactly what God would have him to say. And the Bible says, and say thus, saith the king, and that's the King Ahab, put this fellow into the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Micaiah was in prison for speaking the truth. And he was supposed to be in prison until King Ahab returned from battle unharmed. But Micaiah says, if you return at all, then it wasn't God who was speaking through me. Because the Lord says that you're not going to return from the battle. This will be your last one. King Jehoshaphat, later on in the chapter, we won't read it, but King Jehoshaphat and King Ahab go to battle with Syria, and King Ahab has this king protection plan. He puts on a disguise, but he lets Jehoshaphat wear his royal robes in battle, and so he puts on this disguise hoping that he won't get recognized as the king of Israel. And so he goes into battle, and it's amazing how it almost literally killed Jehoshaphat's life, but at the very, very end of the chapter, you find here in verse number 34, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. An insignificant archer shot an arrow at random, but providence had already decided and dictated where the arrow would land. The end of the story had already been written for Ahab, and Ahab died just as Micaiah had prophesied. Let me tell you this, that God's word is true. It has always been true, and it will continue to be true. It will always come to pass exactly as it's laid out in Scripture. God's sovereignty in this case was more capable than a wicked king's protection plan. God will always do exactly what he says, and you can rest assured. If God says he will meet your needs, he will meet them. If God said he will never leave you nor forsake you, then he won't. If God said that he will never leave you comfortless, he will provide comfort. And if God said that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, he will reward those that seek after him. And the list goes on and on. regarding the promises of God, both for the good and for the bad. But in our life and in a Christian's life, can we stand up for truth? Even though the crowd decides to lie and they decide to chant and they decide to say and they recite exactly what they want to hear, will we stand for truth? Will we say, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says. And I can tell you this, I can't promise it'll all be flocking through the flowered meadow of good times all of the time. And there will be hard times, and perhaps you will be hated. Perhaps we'll be persecuted. Perhaps we'll be despised because we tell people the truth. But the truth and the word of God always comes to pass exactly like God said it does. You can write it down. You can take it to the bank. You can put it on a t-shirt and sell it for everybody to wear. But it always comes to pass exactly as God said it would. And so God will take care of his own as long as we're faithful to him. One truth worth more than 400 lies.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.